right. Take your Bible tonight. I want you to turn to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter number 3. Let me explain. This will be lesson number 29. We've been talking about the subject of growth in the Christian life. Tonight, again, that will be the subject, growth in the Christian life, starting with Colossians chapter number 3. We're going to look at one verse here in Colossians 3, and then I'm going to use many other verses throughout the night. Why don't you stand with me, if you would? Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23. I'll tell you what let's do tonight. Let's read this one verse all together out loud, if we could. Colossians 3, 23. Ready? And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And let me pray. Father, help us tonight to become better Christians because of what we study from your word. Give my mind clarity. May every person listen in thy spirit, and might my voice have thy spirit's anointing on it this evening. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. I want to talk to you tonight about growing your convictions. Growing your convictions. Here in Colossians 3:23, it says that we're to do what we do as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, God wants you to do what you do for Him, for Him. You're supposed to do what you do for the Lord. I'm going to read some verses to you. Listen to them, if you will. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Here is Paul speaking. I want you to notice that Paul said this. Paul said, "I know." And Paul's talking about his Christianity. Paul put his foot down and said, "There's something I know." Paul was a man of conviction. Then he said, "I have been persuaded." I wonder what persuaded him. I'll tell you what it was. It was the Word of God. Paul is able to say, "I know." Why? "I'm persuaded." Well, who persuaded you, Paul? Well, he was persuaded by God, and God persuades by way of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to read another passage of Scripture to you. In Acts chapter 19, verse 26, it says, "Moreover, ye see and hear, that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands." Now, here's this Paul who knows something, who is persuaded, and he's now persuading other people that there's only one God. What did somebody else said? "I've been persuaded." Well, who persuaded you? Paul. How did Paul persuade you? Because Paul was persuaded. Paul said, "I know something." Paul didn't say, "I kind of think maybe I know it." I think Paul said, "I know. I know." Paul knew something. Now, Acts 21, verse 14, it says, "And when he would not be persuaded, we see, saying, the will of the Lord be done." Paul is speaking here. His mind could not be changed. They said, "We give up." He's persuaded. Once something scriptural had, Paul had grabbed a hold of it, Paul said, "You're not going to convince me of anything else. I know what it says. I'm persuaded. I know what I believe." Now, let me read another passage of scripture to you. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21 says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded." Here it says, he's fully persuaded. He's not staggering in his belief. Say, what's going on here? Somebody's got a conviction. Somebody said, "Bible says it. I believe it. That's the end of it." Oh, but wait a minute. No. The Bible says it. That's the end of it, whether you believe it or not. But it sure is good to be able to say, "And I believe it." Paul, listen to 2 Corinthians 5:8, says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord." Paul said, "I'm confident." He wasn't doubting what he believed. He said, "God said it's in the Bible. I'm confident." Folks, we live in a generation that does not like absolutes. And in fact, they don't want absolutes because absolutes require something specific of them. And people don't want anything required of them. But you know, some things are absolutely wrong. And some things are absolutely right. You say, well, the way I see it, well, it really doesn't matter how you see it. It matters how God sees it. You say, well, how am I going to know that? Well, you go to the Bible. You figure out what God believes. It's not what you believe. It's what God believes that's important. God determines right and wrong. Not me. Not you. Not the government. Not your conscience. You say, well, that doesn't bother me. Well, if it doesn't bother you, you got a problem. But it doesn't change right and wrong. You say, well, who decides that? God already decided it. God already decided it. You know, Christians are to be stable. We're to be stable. Paul was a man of conviction. Christians are to be stable. You'll be stable when you look at the Bible, see what it teaches, and decide that's what you believe. That's called having a conviction in regard to what the Bible teaches. Now, stay with me. The lesson is in regard to our growing in our convictions, or just about the whole subject of conviction. Number one, you're to do all that you do because the Bible teaches you to. We're to do all that we do because the Bible teaches us to. I must live what the Bible teaches if I'm going to please God. That comes because 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That word all there in the Greek means all. All. Yeah, that's what it means. What I eat, what I drink, whatever I do, it's all to be done to God's glory. God's book is our guidebook on how to live 24/7. Not just when we're on the church property. There are some people that think that God wrote the Bible so you live it down at the church and then you leave the church property and then you go behave differently. No, that's hypocrisy. That's not what God intended. 365 days a year, 52 weeks a year. This is not a book full of God's suggestions. God decided to call them commands. There's a difference between a suggestion and a command. Ask any two-year-old. This book's made for us so that we make decisions for our life. It'll help me to decide who, what, how, where, why, all to the glory of God. So, let me say, first of all, you're to do all that you do because the Bible teaches you to. That's God's expectation. Number two, if you don't know what the Bible teaches you to do, then find the best Christian you know and do what they're doing until you figure out what the Bible teaches. I said, if you don't know what the Bible teaches, find the best Christian you can, do what they're doing until you learn what the Bible teaches. You know, God wants you to know what the Bible teaches. I want you to live according to God's teachings. But if you can't show me today from the Bible what you believe, you know, you're still supposed to live, right? So I can't prove that from the Bible. There are some people that would rather not be taught certain things because they think if they've not been taught something, they're not required to live it. I'm very sorry. That's not exactly true. That's why some people avoid churches like this one. I'll go down there. I know what they'll teach me. The minute you start rejecting that, you're in trouble with God. You're rejecting a truth that you haven't even heard yet, but you kind of know that it's there and you don't want to live it. So you think, well, I just won't go hear it so I won't be responsible. Hey, if you didn't hear your taxes were due, the government's still coming to get them. Hey, you say, but I don't know what the Bible teaches. If you don't know what the Bible teaches, find the very best Christian you know and mimic them, but be digging and figuring out what the Bible teaches. Look at the best Christian you know and follow their example until you know for yourself where the Bible teaches that behavior. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For instance, we're not to live any way we want. Just because we don't know what the Bible teaches does not give us a right to go do anything we want. And so you say, well, I don't know everything about it. Well, find some godly person and just kind of follow their example until you can figure out where they learned that behavior in the Bible. Look, just because you don't know everybody at the church doesn't mean that you shouldn't be friendly and kind and greet them. You say, well, I don't know who that guy is. Just call him brother. That's what we call all the guys. You know, hey, brother. Hey, brother. You say, well, what's his name? Well, if you don't know his name, you can still greet him. Just call him brother, and he'll go, okay, hey. And the people don't know us. You know, they'll come in and say, man, you got a lot of family in this church, don't you? But just because you don't know somebody does not mean that you should not react or respond to them. And just because you don't know where in the Bible something is taught does not mean that you should not be required to live it. And so, I said, first of all, you're to do all you do because the Bible teaches you to. But if you don't know what the Bible teaches, then find a godly example and mimic them until you figure out why they do what they do. Number three, we all need to know why we believe what we believe and let the Bible become the final authority in our life. We all need to know why we believe and what we believe and let the Bible become the final authority in our life. I want you to be able to go into your Bible and show someone why you live the way you do. I want you to be able to do that. I want you to know for yourself why you live the way you live. We should let the Bible have the final say-so in what we do. Hey, you know what I want for everybody? I want everybody in our church to be like the Apostle Paul. You say, how's that? He said, I'm confident. He used that word. He said, I'm fully persuaded. He used that word. He said, I'm unchangeable. He used that word. He said, I know. He said, I didn't stagger. Paul had convictions. That may be why he's probably responsible for writing 13 books of the New Testament, packed full of scriptural conviction all the way through. I'm going to guess Paul didn't end all of his sentence with question marks, but with periods. When Paul said, I'm persuaded, it wasn't a, I'm persuaded. No, Paul said, I'm persuaded. You're not going to change me. I know what I believe. I know what I am. Persuaded how? He was persuaded by the Word of God. You got to have confidence. So, let me say again, number one, you're to do all that you do because the Bible teaches you to do so. Number two, you're to do if you don't know what the Bible teaches, then find someone godly and mimic them until you figure out what the Bible teaches. Number three, we all need to know why we believe and what we believe, and let the Bible be our final authority. Number four, we should not do what we do for the wrong reasons. Let me explain some of those wrong reasons. You come to church, you get involved, you change your life, whatever. Don't do it because you come to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Do it because God says so. You know, there's some people go to a church and say, you know what, I'll become like a chameleon. That's what they do down there at that church. And while I'm down there at that church, that's what I'll do. Then they can go across town. It's all whacked out and say, you know what, while I'm here, I'll just do what they do because that's what they do at the whacked out church. And now I'm a chameleon. I fit in. Don't do what you do in this church because you're coming to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Do it because God said so. Do it because it's taught in God's never-changing word. We do what we do here according to the Bible. I watch all sorts of people. They go to a church with conviction and they have conviction. They go to a church that has no conviction and they lose all of them. It means they never had them. My church can't give you convictions. Your pastor has convictions. That didn't mean you do. So don't do it because you come to Twin Rivers Baptist Church. When you're doing right, don't do it because you come to this church. Don't do it because your best friend does it. You know, we're to live right whether our friends do or not. There are some people who say, well, my best friend's decided to be a separated Christian. I think that's what I'll do. I'm glad, but I got to tell you something. There's far more to it than that. And when you change best friends and you find a flunky druggie as your next best friend, you're going to go do what they do. We should be best friends with God and live according to His Word as our priority. So, don't do what you do just because you come to this church. Don't do what you do just because your friend is doing it. So what am I supposed to do? You do it because the Bible says to do it. Hey, don't do it to get a chance to lead at the church. I have requirements and expectations upon leaders at the church. I mean, I do interviews with them. We talk about the way they're going to act and dress and behave. And you know something, there's some people say, well, you know what? I want to work down at the church, and I had to do certain things to be able to do it. I don't want you to do it to get a leadership position in the church. You say, well, why should I do it? Because the Bible teaches you to do it. That's why you do it. You do it because it's right to do. You don't do it because of what you get out of it. You do it because of what you will become because of it. And there are people that say, well, I'd like to sing in that group. And so I'll do right so I can sing in that group. I don't want you to sing in the group. I don't want you to do right so you can sing in the group. I want you to do right because right is right to do. And it ought to be your conviction. And I shouldn't ought to talk you into doing right to be able to sing in the group. You ought to already be doing right. And I ought to be coming and asking you to sing in the group because you're doing right. That makes sense? I'm not presenting this very patiently anyway. I have a hard time preaching on conviction without doing it with conviction. I apologize. Don't do what you do because you're coming to this church. Don't do what you do because your best friend is. Don't do what you do so you get a chance at leadership. Hey, don't do what you do because your parents do it. Now stay with me, parents. Don't freak out. Young people, you're to do right because it's God said so. I want you to live the way your parents want you to live. But God is the one that told them to live right. Look, young people are growing up. They're going to do what mom and dad tell them to do. But let me say to every mom and dad in here, it is our goal that they not do it because we told them to do it. But they do it because God told them to do it. Because they're not always going to live at your house. And once they leave your house, you want them to do it after they're not with you anymore. That's what conviction is. If you live right only because you live with mom and dad, then you'll live wrong when you leave home. So don't do what you do for God because you come to this church. And don't do what you do for God because your best friend's doing it. And don't do what you do for God for a chance, for a position. And don't do it because it's just what your parents require. Develop your belief in the Bible for yourself. Hey, don't do it just so you fit in. You know, there are some people that live right because it's a popular thing to do at this church. They ain't going to fit in down there. You're going to have to, you know, look like you came from Little House on the Prairie. I don't want to feel out of place. You're not supposed to try to fit in around here. You're supposed to live godly and above reproach. That's what it's really all about. Don't let peer pressure determine your holy living, but let Holy Spirit pressure determine it. You say, you're trying to get me to back off? No. If you let Holy Spirit pressure do it, you'll get purified even more than the peer pressure would ever purify you. So I say, well, I'm glad to hear you say this because I've been doing some things just because everybody else was. I'm not trying to relieve you of responsibility. I'm trying to put it on your back so you do it for the right reason. Anyway, it'd be smart to do it for the right reason anyway. I mean, what do you have to lose? You say, I was going to do it anyway. Well, how about do it for God? Do you think about maybe putting that into your calculator? But don't do it because of peer pressure, because it's what everybody's doing. Let me say this. Don't do it because you feel like doing it. Don't do what you do because you feel like it. Do it because God's Word teaches it. I have to tell you, through the years, I've been taught some things from the Bible, and I looked at them and said, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like doing that. Anybody here ever got taught something from the Bible and you looked at it and said, no way, I don't feel like doing that. Would you raise your paw? Oh, yeah. But you know what I did? I said, I don't feel like it. But the Bible says that's what I'm supposed to do. So whether I feel like it or not is not the issue. I've got to do what's right to do because the Bible said it's right to do. Someone said to me, Well, I see it taught in the Bible, but I don't feel convicted about it. Folks, if it's in the Bible, that's conviction enough. Since when do you have a monitor on your emotions that determines whether you're to obey the Bible or not?
You say, well, I got my, this is my dial, and God's going to teach me something, and if I feel bad enough, I'll have to do it.
No, it has nothing to do with how bad you feel about it. Did you know something? If it's in the Bible, that is to be your conviction. It doesn't matter how you feel about it or what you think about it. If it's taught in the Bible, that becomes your conviction. And I had a guy tell me, he said, I know, you proved it to me, it's in the Bible, I see it, but I don't feel convicted. I said, so you're choosing to be wrong. He said, no. Look, if a murderer does not feel that murder is wrong, it's still wrong. You say, well, I see that in the Bible, but I just don't feel it's wrong. God is not leaving this thing up to you. Obey or disobey. Feelings don't determine convictions. Your feeling is not supposed to have anything to do with your convictions. Because there's going to be days when you're not going to feel like it. But you do what you're supposed to do. If it's in the Bible, it should be your conviction. All right, now, let me backtrack. Let's see if I can find something sweet in here somewhere. I said, number one, you're to do all that you do because the Bible teaches you to. Number two, if you do not know what the Bible teaches you to do, then find the best Christian you know and mimic them and then get to studying as to why they're doing what they're doing. Number three, we all need to know why we believe, what we believe, and let the Bible become our final authority. I said number four, we should not do what we do for the wrong reasons. We shouldn't do it because we come to this church. We shouldn't do it because our best friend's doing it. We shouldn't do it for a chance or opportunity in leadership. We shouldn't do it because our parents are doing it or just so that we fit in or because we feel like it. It's to be done because the Bible said it should be or shouldn't be done, all based on the Bible. Number five, if you do what you do because the Bible says so, it will not matter to you where you go or who you're with. You'll still continue to live right and do right. I'll say it again. If you do what you're supposed to do because the Bible tells you to do it, it won't matter where you go or who you're with. You're going to continue to do right because your right does not change. That's one of the big reasons that we don't want someone tampering with the Bible. When they change the Bible, they're changing our truth. They're changing our anchor. The Lord said, I am the Lord. I change not. So we're to have conviction. Now, Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord. I change not. Which means this. If I'm doing what I do, not because of who I'm with, not because of where I am, I'm doing it because the Bible says so, then I don't change no matter what. Okay, for instance, geographical location does not determine Bible conviction. Geographical location does not determine Bible conviction. North, south, east, or west. Whether you're in the United States of America or you're in a foreign land, if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. The Bible determines how you live, not the license plate on your car, not the temperature, the weather. You know, I think if it's wrong to strip yourself down to where you've got clothes that look like your undergarments to go down to the beach, I think if it's wrong in one part of the country, it's wrong in another part of the country. There's a way to swim without having to strip yourself down and show everybody all your body. You all have to get used to it. I'll preach that whether I'm in the north or the south or the east or the west. You know, you can't move away from God. You can't do that. And so, geographical location does not determine Bible conviction. Even when you're on vacation, you're to live right. The Bible does not change because you went away on vacation. God doesn't look down and say, oh, they're going on vacation. Here's your free pass for sin. Hey, did you know that if you have convictions, even if you find yourself with the wrong crowd, you'll do the right thing? There are times when you will find yourself with the wrong crowd and you didn't even intend to be there. Hey, at work, we can't make the boss hire all good, independent, fundamental, separated Baptist Christians. So you got to deal with them. Who you're with does not change what your conviction is. Do right. You say, why? Because it's right to do. Your crowd should not determine your behavior. Your Bible determines your behavior. So remember, if you do what you're supposed to do, because the Bible says so, geography has nothing to do with your conviction. Where you're at, who you're with, you're always going to pick a church that believes right if you have conviction about the Bible. I believe if you develop scriptural convictions, you'll never pick a wrong church. I don't determine my convictions based on the church that I go to. You say, well, now, Brother Owens, you've been our pastor for about 2 years. You believe some things that we don't believe. Well, tough. This church doesn't determine what I believe. The Bible determines what I believe. And by the way, I haven't had anybody say anything like that. I've had 100% support on the preaching and the teaching. But this is good because some people listen to sermons like this on the internet, and it gives preachers courage, and it also plucks the tail feathers of rebellious church members that sit out there that want to tell the preacher what he ought to be preaching. No, listen, you don't pick a church that agrees with you. You pick a church that agrees with the Bible. I don't think you'll join a wrong church if you have developed scriptural convictions about your doctrine and about, by the way, about your standards and about music. There are some churches that call themselves Baptist. I could not go there. You say, why? I go in and they've got all sorts of wild honky-tonk contemporary music. I have a conviction about it. I couldn't join it. You pick a church based on what the Bible says. You don't pick a church based on where your family attends. Well, the whole family goes over there. If the whole family jumps off a bridge, are you going to jump off a bridge? That's not how I used to say it to my kids growing up, so I can't tell you what I used to say to them. You don't pick a church based on where your friends go. That's where all my friends are. You better go where God is. You better go where the Bible is. You say, I want a church close to home. I've got news for you. You better find a church that's close to God. That's what you need. You might find it hard to believe, but there are people in here that could testify. My last church, I had people driving two and a half hours to come to our church and bypass many churches. You say, why? They wanted the stern, strong, biblical preaching. They wanted someone that would love them, but tell the truth and not back off. And to me, I'd drive 2 hours to get a steak dinner. You're not to pick a church based on family or friends or how close it is to home. A nice building. I have no dissatisfaction about our building at all, but one thing. It's just not big enough. If we could take this exact building and expand it to hold hundreds of people, I would be fine with that. I'm not trying to impress anybody with the building. All I want to do is help people and get the gospel out. That's all I want to do. But I know people that will pick a church based on how fancy is the grounds, how fancy is the building. Fooey on all that. Now, we will take care of our building and we'll take care of our grounds. But church is not all about impressing the Joneses. Say, well, I want to go someplace where it's popular in the community. Well, when you have sermons like this, you just don't end up popular in the community. What are we going to base it on? The Word of God. That's why we're called an old-fashioned Bible-believing church. And it's fun. If you will say what the Bible says, you're allowed to say it with some tenacity. It's okay. You've got someone backing you up. You say the deacons, well, I hope. You say the church, I hope. But if I didn't have any of that, as long as I had the one that wrote the book backing it up, I'm going to be okay. It's conviction. You know, if, and remember, if you say And if you believe what you're supposed to believe, you're going to do right no matter where you are. There's not a geographical location that'll change it, not vacation, not even when you're with the bad crowd. When you pick a church, you're going to pick a church based on this. You just won't change what you believe for anybody. The truth is, you can't. You say, why? I believe what God said, and God's not changing what God said, so I can't change what I believe. I don't change it for family or my boss or my friends. I hate to say it, but we may come to this point in America, I can't change it for the government. I'm very, very sorry, but I still think abortion is sin and it's wrong. I had somebody leave our church a few months ago that was very upset about the fact that I believed that abortion was wrong. They said, well, I don't believe that way. Well, you say, well, did we lose the tithe? Well, I don't care. I'd rather lose the tithe than to lose my convictions and lose the Bible standards and the truth from the Bible. See, the problem is when you've let the Bible become your guide, your final authority, you have no choice in the matter. I just have to believe right. God commands it. I must obey. You know something? You know what that means? If Bible says it and it doesn't change 50 years from now, I'm still be believing the same thing. Mrs. Owens has known me since I was a 16-year-old preacher boy. And she could tell you, this is the way I believe when I was 16. And I hope when I'm 96, it's not going to change. Time does not change convictions. The Bible does not change, so I can't change. The times are not to change our convictions. You say, preacher, you're going to have to face it. This is a new era. Yeah, the era of knuckleheads, rebellious, and liberals. You say, that's old-fashioned. Well, thank you. Actually, it's the real McCoy. It's the original. Churches may change, but we're not to change. Preachers may change, but we're not to change. We're to obey the Bible. I have decided that I got to keep an eye on myself. I got to keep me in line with where I started. Now, you say, well, I started in the wrong place. Well, get yourself in the right place, then keep yourself in the right place, but do keep an eye on yourself. You know, we're to teach our children Bible convictions so they never change. And again, every child in here, while you're in your parents' home, you're to live by your parents' rules. Parents, but let me tell you something, while they're busy obeying what you have told them is right, you need to be teaching them why it is right. And that way, when they leave home, they'll still live right. I was talking to my dad, who pastors in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, the other day. I said, Dad, I really appreciate you believing right all these years. He said, Son, I really appreciate you believing right all these years. He said, get it to the great-grandchildren and hope they get it to their grandchildren, because that's really what it's all about. Now, if you'll obey the Bible in your life, you'll be a person of conviction. The Bible talks about being blown about by every wind of doctrine. That's being unstable. That's believing what your friends believe because your friends believe it, or because your church believes it, or because it's popular, or because you get something out of it. No, you need to believe it with conviction. For instance, I think that you ought to be a soul winner because the Bible teaches soul winning. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That's my conviction, that we are to be telling others about Jesus Christ. It's my conviction that we ought to be faithful to church. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I have a conviction about night church because it's taught in the Bible. I have a conviction about prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer. I have a conviction about staying in the Bible and reading it, because of 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation and doctrine. I believe in separation because of 1 John 2:15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Or 2 Corinthians 6:17, where it says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Mrs. Owens dresses the way Mrs. Owens dresses because of conviction. We can dogmatically, scripturally prove why she dresses the way that she dresses. I keep my hair cut like a man because of 1 Corinthians 11:14. It says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. That's my conviction. It's not because I'm running with a group of people where the men keep their hair cut. No, if I was with a bunch of long-haired hippie dogs, I would go ahead and keep my hair cut like a man because of what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
You're to separate from non-believers because the Bible commands it in 2 John 1:10. I believe the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved Word of God. You say, why? I've got scriptural reasons. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but he answered and said, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God said, I'm to live by every word, which means there has to be an every word Bible somewhere. You say, well, I don't believe it's the King James. And you go stick with your version, but I know which one I'm sticking with. Listen, I'm a Baptist by conviction. Matthew 3:13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Baptist was not John's last name. It was John's affiliation, if you will. Salvation is a free gift, and you don't work for it. That's my conviction. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't lose your salvation. That's my conviction. John 10, verse 27 and 28. I tithe by conviction. Malachi chapter 3. Opinions, us fundamentalists, we're full of them. Full of opinions. How long your skirt should be. Just keep your thigh covered. That's my scriptural conviction. It's what the Bible teaches. Now, all the opinions, I don't want to fuss over what color we're going to paint the walls or what color the carpet's going to be or are we going to line the parking lot so they park straight or park at an angle. I am not interested in that. If you want to fight over the King James Bible, you got one. You want to fight over the certain doctrines, the convictions of the Bible, you got a tiger by the tail. But all the opinions, I don't care. I don't care. Hey, let me say this and we'll be done. I believe that you should believe so strongly that even when you're backslidden, you know that you are. Hey, even when you're backslidden, did you know God hasn't changed? Even when you're backslidden, the Bible hasn't changed. Be honest with yourself when you're backslidden. Do this. Hey, do yourself a favor. Do God a favor. Do all the other Christians a favor. When you get backslidden and you start living in a way that you didn't used to live, instead of walking around saying, I don't believe all that junk anymore, why don't you just do this? Why don't you say, it's still right and I'm wrong. I'm backslidden and I'm away from it. But God hasn't changed and the Bible hasn't changed. Oh, you can get tired. People come to church and they'll live right for a little while, go out and get backslidden, and then they'll say, oh, church was wrong. No, you're the wrong one. You're the one that changed. Don't say the Bible's wrong. When you're backslidden, simply be honest enough to say the Bible's right. The Bible has not changed. I'm not living right at this time. You would do Christianity a favor. You know how many lost people get tired of hearing people blame the church when that individual is the backslidden one? Keep the conviction that the Bibles teach even when you're not living right. At least keep believing the Bible is right and true, even if you're not living up to its expectation. You say, why? You know, if you will be honest enough when you're backslidden to say, the Bible's still right, right now I'm wrong, you have a chance of coming back. But while you're backslidden, if you start bailing out on all the things you said you believed, and now you say they're wrong and you're right, you're minimizing your chance of coming back. I've respected some fantastic attituded backslidden people. You ever met someone that said, yeah, I know drinking's wrong and I'm not supposed to be doing it? I appreciate that. And they're absolutely right. The drinking is still wrong, and they're wrong, and the Bible's still right. So when you go out and do wrong after having had a time of doing right, don't turn on everybody and throw everybody under the bus. I never believed that. Well, yeah, you did believe that. And God's not changed and the Bible's not changed. You've changed. Why don't you just be honest enough to say, I'm wrong and the Bible's still right. But by doing so, you'll stand a better chance of coming back to God. Just a lesson. Growing in your convictions. We're to do everything we do according to the Bible. But if you don't know what the Bible teaches, find the best Christian you can and say, I'm going to be like that until I figure out what the Bible says. And then once you get to finding out what the Bible says, be careful that you're actually doing it because the Bible teaches it, not for a variety of other reasons. And you want to throw those other reasons in with it? Fine. But your bottom line better be the Word of God. I'm doing it because the Bible teaches. It is probably a good thing that God does not call all the lay people to be pastors because we wouldn't have very many decent churches. They're so wishy-washy about what they believe. You know, God has to call people that have backbone and conviction that'll stand up and say, and it's not changing. It's not changing. It's not changing. Let me ask this question. I wonder what kind of a church you would have if you were a pastor. Would it be a church of conviction? Would it be a church that dogmatic? And I'm not talking about being unkind. No, you don't have to be unkind to have conviction. But you do have to have a little tenacity. You will have to tell some people no. You will have to say to some people, I don't do that. I don't believe that way. Let's grow. I've always been a firm believer that I'm not trying to grow something big. I'm trying to grow something strong. And if you grow something strong, it has the potential of getting bigger. Numerical growth to me is a byproduct of spiritual growth. Some people go after the byproduct. I want to go after the original product. And that's us growing strong in the Lord. The power of His might. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope you'll grow in your conviction. Say, well, I believe that. My grandma believed that. I love your grandma. Nana is probably one of the finest ladies that ever walked the face of this earth. But let me tell you something. If you only believe it because grandma believed it, once grandma passes off the scene, you're liable to throw in the towel. You better believe it because the Bible teaches it. You better do what the Word of God tells you to do, and that's the best way to be happy as a Christian. You say, well, my best friend, that's what they believe. Well, I'm glad your best friend believes right. But you better believe for more reason than just because your best friend believes it. Well, our family's just always been to that church. I'm not trying to cause any grief in any family. I'm just telling you, I don't go to the church that I go to because my family goes there. I go to the church that I go to because God's there, and the Bible is the guide. Thank God if you get family to go there. Let's grow in our conviction. Let's grow. We're going to have an altar call. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, feel free to come. Maybe you need to say to yourself, you know, I better dig in here and get my beliefs a little more established. The Apostle Paul was a man of conviction. He said, I know. He said, I am persuaded. He said, I am confident. He said, they won't change me. Huh. They said of him, he didn't stagger. He was unchangeable about certain rights and certain wrongs. Someone quoted earlier, they see the big old 18-wheelers in their trailers and the big sign splashed on the side of it. Go to the church of your choice. No, you go to the church of God's choice. Some of you have let friends and people pull you away from right beliefs, your standards, your convictions. You need to get them fixed. This will be the last time through the song. Ushers, if you'll have the prayer list ready, as well as the financial statements, just in case we need to pass out another one. Thank you, and have a